Welcome back to the Malcolm in the Middle podcast. Another Sunderland game, this time at home. I was going to say away from home there. I thought it was away for a split second, but it wasn't. It was at home, a 1-1 draw, another point on the board, this time at home to Bristol City. Sunderland took the lead through Jack Clark and obviously conceded a 93rd minute penalty against a team who I think had went almost 500 days without being awarded one. And I think it's 750 days since the one that they got before that. So in Sunderland typical fashion, it's always nice to end that bit of a run for Bristol City. But we'll go into the game and what happened during it, and obviously look ahead a little bit to the next game, which is Rotherham on Tuesday. Quick turnaround once again. But first and foremost, Michael, 7 points from the last three games, 7 points from nine possibly could have been attained. It's not a bad return, and that point against Bristol City is not one that should be overlooked, really.
No, it's not. I think, I can't remember the exact stat, but I'm pretty sure it's something like a dozen games now that they're unbeaten. And I think it's since Boxing Day. Now, anyone listening who's listening might want to correct me on that, but I think it's something along those lines. And not to mention, I think they beat Norwich last week, didn't they?
Yeah, 1-0.
One of the teams that, well, a club that's got players who are underperforming criminally, in my opinion. But nevertheless, that's a good win. So that shows you how difficult Bristol City are to play against. And I was saying on YouTube when I was doing an interview outside the ground afterwards that I kind of think of Bristol City a better version of Oxford, where in League One, I hated playing Oxford because they're aggressive without being too physical, but they don't let you settle. And I think Bristol City fit that description quite well. And even though I didn't think Bristol City were particularly great yesterday, I didn't feel like they let Sunderland settle. I felt like we were always on edge, and there was always... But put it this way, Bristol City, if you compare the Reading game just over a week ago to this game, it's night and day which team tried to come up and try and play, and the other team just basically stuck everyone behind the ball and took 30 hours to take a throw in. So, you know, I think it's a difficult game, and I actually thought going into it we would get beat just because of the fact that it's the Championship. Well, A, it's the Championship. B, yeah, they're on a good run of form. C, we've had a lot of games recently. And D, because you're not going to win every game and you're going to drop points somewhere. And I just had a bad feeling about this game for a couple of weeks, actually. And bearing in mind, at the time of speaking and recording, we've had a game every 3-4 days this month. So, yeah, it was disappointing. I'm not going to lie. It was very annoying to have conceded that injury time penalty. But if you offered me that 7 points from Reading, QPR and Bristol City a week ago, I would have taken it. And I think I probably would have took a point for the Bristol City home game, which I know sounds negative, but it's literally just because of the way it happened that we're disappointed with. These are not a bad team, and they'll give other teams problems as the season draws to a close.
Yeah, it will probably be a shorter one today, so we'll try and cover everything that we can. There's probably going to be a few things that we miss, but like I said, Kyle, it is a draw to point. It's a game that people are coming away from being disappointed that we haven't won, which again just shows where we've come from. The fact that, you know, a team who haven't lost all year, been in the Championship for God knows how long, to get a point away, to get a point against them, and, you know, probably, I want to say deserve the win. I think a draw was a fair result. There's still a sense of, I suppose, overachievement, I guess, that we are coming away from this, a bit of both, that we are coming away from a game like this disappointed not to have picked up another 3 points.
Exactly, and I think, and we haven't leaked goals late. I mean, you think about the two ones that stand out, both at home. One was QPR, which was just ridiculous. And then, you know, and this one, just a late, it's just an extremely late penalty. So it's not like this is becoming a habit, which is, I think that's what's reassuring, because I felt like that in League One at times where we were just always going to give up a goal at the end. So we've moved beyond that. And now it feels right to be frustrated with this versus like just being annoyed in League One when we do it. So I'm happy we're in the Championship regardless. I think, like you said, overachievement. I think I think Sunderland as a club will always hold their team to high expectations, but I can't come away too upset about this. Really, it was frustrating, but you know, we move on, and Bristol City's a good team and they played well. So, yeah, it was just the way it happened just kind of sucked, but overall, I'm not too upset about it. So
yeah, the game as a whole, Michael, was probably a case of just two teams cancelling each other out, because they both play attacking football. They're both pretty solid at the back. They both just want to get on with the game. and, you know, the ball goes out of play, both teams should want to get straight back in and start playing and pass, you know, in their little triangles that both teams did. And especially for the first kind of 30 minutes, that was the case. Bristol City probably edged it, but like I say, both teams just kind of nullified each other.
Yeah, it wasn't short on attacking intent, was it? And even what you just described, where both teams want to play football, when and it just gets me thinking of how different times are. I think it's like you and Kyle have said it, that it says a lot how different things are now, when in League One, teams literally just came here, parked 20 buses in front of their goal, and then just hope we didn't break them down and time wasted at every opportunity. Yes, I hate time wasting, for as you can probably tell. But yeah, both teams had a goal. I didn't think it was particularly great on quality chances, but it wasn't through a lack of endeavour. I mean, there was the one chance, I think this was in the first 30 minutes, so I might be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure there was the one where, who's number 11 for Bristol City? I can't remember who he
Mehmeti.
Mehmeti. Oh yeah, that's the guy from Wickham, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I thought so. Yeah, he weaved his way in and out around our players in the penalty box, and there was the save that he forced Patterson to save onto the post, which was pretty good. We obviously had it, we created a chance, I think, in the first half in particular, where I think the ball comes down from the left-hand side, and I think Gelhardt, if he gets a decent connection on it, I think you said in the group chat we've got that he's not a finisher, and based off that, you can see why. But, you know, the first 30 minutes, we did, both teams definitely tried to have a go at each other. It was, as you said, both teams cancelling each other out. I had a better time of saying that than you did.
Yeah, and that was pretty much the case for the entire first half. Kind of like I say, I think Bristol City probably edged it in the first half hour. Sunderland got back into it, better team kind of the last 15 minutes. And second half was probably very 50-50, but I think Sunderland probably edged that a little bit. But Sunderland did take the lead in the first half. I will not go into the whole conversation about, you know, what he has done, what he hasn't done, because that will go on forever. But what you can say about them is Jack Clarke is in good form right now.
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, all the articles have been mentioned and all that. I think it's just safe to say he's been worth the investment. He's been worth the time and the, you know, and whatever money, you know, was spent. I mean, he's delivered, right? You really can't ask for, you know, much more than what he's doing, especially in his position without, you know, without a natural striker there as well to kind of relieve some pressure. I love Jack Clarke. I mean, the play that he made and the build up from Joffe too, because immediately right before that, and then that can be probably a whole other conversation as well. Great build up play, but it's just finished. And it's just the types of goals that you see, you know, on the training pitch, and you can tell that, you know, Clarke has that sort of work ethic, right? It's not just someone, you know, some people you can go out there and just throw him out and he'll score goals just by his natural ability. You can see the things that he's worked on. So credit to the coaches to identify, you know, where he needs to get better. And he's just playing with a lot of confidence. Love it. And so, yeah, I am absolutely a Jack Clarke supporter through and through. So,
yeah.
So am I, Kyle. I'll join your club for that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'll take it. Yeah.
And I said we weren't going to go into it, but I am, Michael. Because
yes,
I don't think we've really talked about it. There's only been a few days people have even mentioned it. People do say it's frustrating, and people have taken that wildly out of context, I think, and just blown it massively out of proportion. Because you look at what he's done in the league since November, prior to QPR,
wasn't it QPR? That, like, went something like 15 games in the Champions?
Yeah, it was three months without a goal or assist. And when people say he's frustrating, that's not writing him off. It's not saying he's shit. It's not saying, you know, he's not good enough. It's nothing like that. He's frustrating. And in a way, it's probably a compliment about him, because I think that's his 17th goal contribution this season, 13th in the league. I think he's got 7 goals, 6 assists in the league. And I think the frustration comes that he can do that. He can cut inside. He can shoot. He can take his man on, put a good ball in the box. We get a goal. But like I say, the frustration comes from the times that he doesn't do that. And, you know, he'll get the ball, he'll be one-on-one with the defender, and instead of either trying to take it down the byline and whip the ball in the box, or take it past his man and have a shot on goal, he does play the safe option a lot.
There has been times he's done that. I think in League One in particular, he was very guilty of it, where he kept on trying, because he's naturally right-footed, I think, so it's one where he keeps on trying to cut in on his right foot when there's a good opportunity to cross with his left. I actually thought second half against Reading in particular, I thought he put in some very good deliveries in.
Yeah.
And obviously he scored twice at QPR, scored the goal that got us a point basically yesterday. It's one of those where, for me, I agree that Jack Clarke is definitely a frustrating player at his worst. I think he's definitely one that his decision making needs to be better. But I think we do have to remember, if his decision making was spot on, if he wasn't frustrating, would he be playing for us in the championship? Probably not.
I was just going to say that. Absolutely.
Yeah. There you go. I'll pretend that I didn't steal that off Kyle.
No, you're good.
But I do get the point you're making, though, Josh. He definitely is a frustrating player at his worst of times. But I do hope, and obviously frustrating, you're right, isn't the same as writing someone off or saying, oh, they're effing shit. Because someone behind me yesterday, before he scored, was giving Clark quite a lot of pelters. And I felt, and when he scored, I felt like turning around to him and go, oh, sorry, what was that, mate?
Copy aids.
Some of the criticism he's got has been warranted. I completely agree with that. I think the level of some of the criticism has been wildly unjustified, if I'm honest. And you've got to remember, because of the way we play, Ahmad drifts towards Robert's side because they've got the link-up play. Yeah. And it means that Clark is pretty much left isolated on his own. The fact that Clark's got, correct me if I'm wrong, was yesterday in all competitions his 9th goal of the season. Something like that. I'm pretty sure he got like 6 goals in the championship before yesterday, and obviously scored
7 in the league and then 4th against Fulham. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. It just goes to show, I mean, if anything, if he's showing the flashes of quality he is at 22 now, and when he's got another 3 years left on his contract after this season, if anything, I think that shows that we've got a good talented recruitment player from the recruitment team, if I can get my words out, on our hands. And there is a player there. I think once his decision making improves better, I think you'll see Premier League clubs link with him. I was a big defender of Jack Clark last summer when I think it was me and Daniel, so here you go, I'm mentioning him here. We had a big debate on Scott Twine versus Jack Clark, and I pointed out, Scott Twine has barely been fit, barely been available for most of the season, so it's not a fair comparison. But in particular with Clark, I said, no, there is a good player in there. You just need to stick with him. Not everyone rates him, fair enough. But for me, I just don't get it. I think he is a good player. And I'm telling you now, he will get a Premier League move in the future. I'm confident of it. It's just a matter of ironing out the issues and getting better consistency. But I agree with you. At times, he is frustrating.
Yeah. We'll get on to what happened, obviously, in the last couple of minutes in a second, Kyle. But games this season, substitutes have changed the game for the good from Tony Mowbray. And I think this is the one time where the subs didn't impact the game that, you know, Mowbray probably wanted them to. Because if you look at some of the subs we've made, obviously Jack Clark was the one who got the goal. Obviously, these are all in different times, but in general, Jack Clark was took off. Joe Gellhart was took off. Edouard Michu was took off. And Patrick Roberts was took off. So you've took off three of your, best attackers, I suppose. And then obviously Michu as well, who kind of got the pre-assist to the goal, and he is a midfielder that likes to get forward. And then you look at the players who've come on. You've got Dennis Sergin, who's come on, who's a left-back. Ekwa, who I don't think people really know what he is at this stage, but he seemed to have been kind of chucked on up front, which didn't make too much sense. You've got Onayan, who's, been playing centre-half for most of the season and pretty much most of his career here, and obviously Pritchard. So out of the four players that came off, all of which are probably what I would say are attacking players, they were replaced by two defensive players and Ekwa, who's a bit of an unknown at the moment. And that is when Bristol City kind of started to take advantage, because we were sitting back, we had no out ball, we had no one to get us up the pitch. And, you know, if you're going to sit back, sometimes it'll work, sometimes you'll hold on to the 3 points. But this time, Bristol City put the pressure on, we just couldn't counter it.
I think the biggest difference that I've seen, because I think it's noted that we are better in the second half, and absolutely I think the subs impact the game positively for us. This 5-sub rule has been really interesting to watch. I love it, for one. And I think up until really Bristol, maybe there's a few other teams I'm probably forgetting, but the last couple of teams we've played, they didn't have anyone on the bench who's worth it, worth a damn, to be honest. You know, there wasn't really anyone on QPR, Reading, or anything like that who came off the bench who really impacted the game, and that just shows their depth and recruitment. That's a whole other situation. Bristol City, I mean, the players they brought on, I thought all played very well. You know, it was just kind of a like-for-like, but, you know, they contributed to the game, which I can't say the same for the last couple teams we played. So I still think it was the right decision, really, in the end. But I agree. The Ekwa one was a little interesting, and you could tell as soon as we made the subs, and especially after our goal, we just kind of turned off for a little bit. And I don't know if it was just the flow or the momentum. It just felt like a game too that we were up by more, because I felt like we had more chances that, you know, probably should have been put away. And it kind of bit us in the end. I wouldn't say maybe it's a direct relation to our subs, because like I said, I think Bristol City subs were just as positive and really strong playmakers, to be honest. So it was tough, but you know, when it works, and I guess when it doesn't,
to add to what Kyle said there, do you guys think it's because we've got to remember we played Millwall, Fulham, Reading, QPR, Bristol City all within the space of 2 weeks? Do you think that the lads are just feeling a bit jaded and a bit more leggy when we've had a game every 3-4 days for a sustained period of time?
That could probably be it as well. Definitely did look a little bit leggy, but yeah. But with those subs, I mean, I think we've done a good job rotating players, and you know, like Mishu the other day, right? And so it's tough to put too much on, you know, they're leggy. I think we've managed it as best as we can, but a lot of these players, this is their first season at this level. And we are really in those dog days where it's like, you know, still pretty cold out. You know, it's just it's just hard to kind of get up and get moving every single day. And it's a long season, and I understand what they make and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into that, but I think it's only natural that we're seeing this. And that's why I'm just thankful that we have the five subs and that we have depth of players who want to get on the field and perform. And, you know, I just think it just didn't come out with us, but yeah, it's, it might be a little bit leggy, but I think everyone's feeling a little bit leggy at this point in the season.
I think as well, the good thing about it is that we've actually we're in a good position in the league at the minute, so we can afford to have these issues, so to speak, if you call them issues.
Yep.
If we were down in a relegation battle with Wigan and Rotherham, for example, then there'd be a bit more, supporters would be a bit more on edge because we don't ever want to return to League One ever again. So the fact we've got nearly 50 points now, I think, it means we can, it just means there's less pressure on the boys. We've got to give Bristol City credit as well, because like you said, I think they definitely did deserve something out of the game, but it is what it is. We just need to get through the next week and just get through it unscathed.
Yeah. 91st minute, I think it was. Bristol City get a penalty, Michael. I think it was Naki. Naki Wells that took it. Don't know who won it. Obviously, he goes down in the box. Referee points straight at the spot. Is it a penalty? I don't think there's too many. I think there's a good shout for penalty. I think there is a foul on Hume. Oh, foul by Hume. But prior to that, probably a foul on Hume.
I agree. I think the challenge, if you're talking the challenge itself without anything else, without the context attached to it, for me, it's a penalty then. Because I don't think there can be any complaints about that. But it shouldn't have been given as a penalty for me because Hume was fouled in the build-up to the run, which led to the foul that led to the penalty, if that makes sense. So for me, no. I think the penalty shouldn't have been awarded based on what came right to, like a nanosecond before it. But if you're talking just the incident itself for which the penalty was awarded for, then I don't have any complaints with it. But, I mean, it's one of those things. Hume's been one of our best players, I would say, for the last 2 months. I think he's been really, really good. He's made the right-back position his own. I think it might be just a case that he's... because he's played nearly every minute, hasn't he? I can't remember if he's been subbed off in the games where we've had to rotate players. I think it's mostly been attack-wise because the defence has pretty much stayed the same apart from Elise and Serkan interchanging. But... yeah, the incident, it's the challenge itself. Yeah, I would say probably penalty. But for me, it shouldn't have been a penalty because we should have got the foul on Hume, a free kick for the foul on Hume directly leading up to it.
Yeah. And also, like I said, Naki Wells took it, Kyle. Naki Wells scored it. And obviously, Patson made a save in the QPR game from the penalty spot at 1-0, obviously, which, you know, like we said on that podcast, was probably one of the key moments in that game. He very nearly got a hand onto this one.
Yep, and you can just tell he's playing with a lot of confidence. And, you know, credit to Bristol City. There's a lot of clubs that just kind of annoy me with their socials or some of their fans, but it was actually pretty funny to see their reaction because, I mean, we were kind of in that same situation where we were like, man, it's been a long time since we've been awarded a penalty. I had no idea the struggle that Bristol City was going through with their penalty decision. So it was entertaining, I'll say. They reacted well enough, and
are you referring to the gift that they said when they said penalty to Bristol City on Twitter?
Yeah,
that was funny.
Their social teams were good, and their fans, and even in the stands, I think they were chanting something about it. So, anyways, like, it's just if that's going to be the manner and the context around us giving away a 91st minute penalty, then I'm just, for a draw at home against a good team in form, I'm just gonna have to live with it because it is pretty funny at the end of the day. But you know, that's just Sunderland things.
We've had a bit of humor, haven't we? We had the Will Ferrell thing in midweek as well. So
the whole season's just been funny. Like, I think I'm just enjoying it so much, and it's just little things like this that just we'll look back on and laugh when we go up to the Prem, obviously. So
statement.
This season as well. Obviously, did finish 1-1, and like I say, that point leaves us in the playoffs. We've got Rotherham up next, which we'll get onto in just a second. But instead of three of the best, we'll pick out the one standout player, starting with you, Michael.
Oh, I'm glad you don't make me think of three, because it wasn't particularly the best of games. I think, it's a tough one. Because the obvious one's going to Clark, could say Clark, because he scored. But across the game, I didn't think he was that great. As someone who's a defender of Clark. Okay, I'll probably go with, I don't know, I'm trying to pluck a name out of my backside. Dan Ballard. I think Dan Ballard, actually, in fact, Ballard for most of the game, I thought was very solid. And I think, and this was a game where, unlike Reading, this was a game where he actually had to do some dogged work. So, yeah, I think I'd go with Dan Ballard. But, you know, I'm sure Kyle will think of a player that I haven't thought of and put me to shame.
No. Yeah, Kyle, for you.
Yeah, I really like the way Mushut played. I just liked how he's played, you know, for the last couple of games, and you know, I think it was right for him to be rested. But yeah, had a couple of really nice balls. I think it was him who had a beautiful through ball to Ahmad, who was able to kind of cut inside a defender and then just kind of got cut out at the end. So I'll give it to Mushut. I think he played really well, and I just want to see more of him. And I think 5 million. In my opinion, would be a pretty good option for him. So,
a steal for me.
You think? Yeah.
In today's market, I think
that. I was going to say, I have no idea what the context of the market and things like that, and like who should cost what, because it's not like FIFA or Football Manager. You just chuck a bunch of money at
it. It's fine, Kyle. We'll buy him for 5 million. We'll sell him for like 50 in 2 years' time. Sorry.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'm here for it. So,
hopefully so. But like I say, Rotherham Tuesday is the next game away from home, a game that we should be winning. And going back to the very start of the season, before the season even started, I said Rotherham home and away is the one game that Sunderland's going to be expected to win. Obviously, we're in the playoffs now, and there's a lot more games like that. But Rotherham remains to be one of them, Michael. If you're going to go with a prediction for that, it is going to be
Rotherham 1, Sunderland 3. I think I agree. I think we will win. I think I agree. I think we said at the start of the season, the games against the fellow promoted side, so both games against Rotherham and Wigan, basically, you know, we needed to be picking up wins. We've picked up 9 points from the first three games across the two teams, so hopefully we can make it 12 on Tuesday.
Yeah. And Kyle, for you?
Sorry, I was muted. I mean, yeah, they're sitting 21st. I mean, they just lost 2 games ago to Reading, and I don't know how anyone could lose to Reading. So this definitely feels like one. Like we really do have to, you know, this is a fellow, you know, League One club that we've, you know, battled with over the years. So we know they're tough. I think their stadium's pretty tough to play at as well. But
we lost 5-1 there last year.
Right.
That was there.
Yeah. So
weren't you? Sorry, I brought it up.
That's even better. So we have to. I mean, this would kind of be like a burying the hatchet, so to speak, of just, yeah, it'll just feel good. Just like anytime we beat Wigan, obviously for a number of reasons, Michael. But yeah, rather got to
wait.
I will put it 2-0, and Mushut will get his first goal. And so will Joffy. Joffy and Mushut.
I was gonna say Joffy could do with a goal, couldn't he?
Yes. Oh, please, yes.
Well, we'll see if that happens. Let's say we'll probably get a podcast out at some point in the week to talk about what happens in that game. And then again, to look ahead to the next game, which is obviously on the Saturday. So another quick turnaround. So many games in so few days. Nice early kickoff for that one on Saturday against Coventry, which is going to be a nice long drive. But like I say, something will be out about that Rotherham game in due course. But until then, we will see you there.
That's all, folks.